Church family. There we are. All right. We have a lot of things we want to take care of and involve our church family. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, orient yourself to where you are. Just change the thinking. And what we're here to do is to worship God together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. How thankful we are for the wonderful opportunities you give us for the spreading of the gospel, both the believer and unbeliever. Father, we thank you for our time to worship together, study the word together, and just fulfill all the purposes of the local church. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you in your Son's precious name. Amen. Let's start with a hymn. And just to get us into that, you're in a church, so let's start with a hymn. And Brian, what are we going to sing?
This is My Faith Looks Up to Me. Three recorded verses. We'll do the first, second, and the last one. 382, My Faith Looks Up to Me.
Okay. Have several things we want to bring up. First of all, next Sunday will be the first Sunday of August, and we made it through all of the unusualness of July. Five Sundays, five bunch of things that is very rare. Next Sunday, first Sunday, therefore communion. And along with our communion, we fellowship together. And next, the theme for August will be finger food and summer salads. So, let's see, tuna sandwich, chicken salad, turkey sandwich, chicken nuggets, bluebell ice cream. No, wait a minute, it doesn't say that on there. But anyway, just plan on coming next Sunday, and we'll study the Word, get back into Romans, and have communion, and then fellowship time together. Okay. I have a particular order of the things that I want to bring to your attention this morning, but I want to start with Thomas. Now, Thomas had an unbelievable week, so I'm going to ask Thomas to come up here. Come on up, Thomas. Come on up. You're our resident miracle, so we want to see and hear from you. So you got to talk into this. Talk where we can hear you.
Put your watch out so he doesn't talk too long.
Okay, so I just got back from New York, made it there safe and sound, and not sick or anything. Thanks for all the prayers for that. And just had an amazing time there. It was great. We had a hotel on, like, right next to Times Square, and really nice rooms. Got to stay with, it was just really cool being, there's 28 other kids there, just a bunch of people going through the same thing, they actually understand you. People are still on treatment, just got off, still having to take a few things, and a lot of kids that didn't have hair yet still, and mine was probably one of the longest people with longest hair there, actually. It was great. The first day, we went to the Empire State Building and then the Wax Museum, and it was just, it's really cool, because we would have these little pins, and everywhere we'd go, they were little, like, suns, like this one. And we'd pin them to anybody that we thought would, like, was helping or would talk to us or was doing anything for us. So everywhere in the hotel you'd go, there'd be the bellhops or anything like that, or the front desk managers and all that would have these little pins on. They wore them all week and so everything. And we'd go to Empire State Building. The people that worked there for the Skyride and everything were wearing them. And that was really cool whenever we get to. Go
did you go off the Empire State Building?
No. That was the first day. Second day we did Lion King later that night. I don't remember what we did during the day. We always had like a day activity. We'd go back to the rooms and rest or go shopping on Times Square for a little bit and then go back to and then have something, eat dinner and go do something or like a play or something at night. And so we saw Lion King. That was really cool. Got to meet the cast and everything for it. Go backstage, hold the props. And it's just really cool because everywhere we go, you could tell the people would just, like, whatever we do, they would, like, they just love to help us. You could see, like, we'd go to a restaurant or something and all the servers, we'd give them all the pins and stuff. And they just seemed so happy to be able to help a organization like this. And you could tell that, like, their smiles and everything is just really cool. And there's even one where we went to the Oakley store and one of the girls pinned one of the, just the workers there, and he thought it was so cool, our story and everything. Went to the back and got everybody little souvenirs of like these pins with the Oakley symbol and then a picture of like New York in it, and so it was pretty cool. Yeah.
That's great. Very good. Thank you so much. Okay, I want you to understand the organization that took Thomas. So, Terry, I'm going to ask you to come up, share what you were telling me earlier about the person you met at the bus is 28, and just different things like that. Please share with us.
What?
Tell them
He had a lot more stories, but I know he's very nervous being up here. That was a lot of words for him, guys. You know that. Now, me, on the other hand, I could take the whole movie. No. A few stories that touched my heart. When his nurse got off the plane, she said one of her first bone marrow transplant patients who had was the first cord blood transplant they'd done, met up with him. He's now 29 years old. He was Thomas's age when he had his transplant. She had tears in her eyes. He got to come spend the day with him, and he met Thomas, and Thomas got to meet someone that is, you know, survived this long with bone marrow transplant. And when she was telling us the story, Thomas, did you look at her and say, "So there is still hope for me yet?" Did you say something like that to Deb? Sort of. You may not have remembered. But anyway, it really touched me when she was telling us at the airport. And then their guide at the World Trade Center was a bone marrow donor. He donated his cells to save somebody's life. So, and that was just, and so he was pinned. And Thomas also said when he was walking around New York, they saw a lot of people wearing yellow pins. So 28 kids hanging out, all gone through some battles with cancer of some form, and just being treated like VIPs everywhere they went. They had VIP stuff. He brought home so much stuff from things that people had given him. So it was just cool. He talked for hours. So it was amazing. So anyway, it was really neat.
Okay, what happens now as far as medical or testing?
Tuesday we go to the doctor. We get his lungs checked, which he's been coughing a little bit, but I don't think it's anything serious. And blood checks again. We'll start all over again trying to wean from those steroids, but to see what we can do about get rid of that GVHD. Fantastic. But he looks great, doesn't he?
Oh, great. My goodness. That's the most I've heard him talk. That's really good. Oh, well, Thomas, congratulations. Glad you went and had a great time. Now, following that, I think a lot of you have received the email about Lily and Romeo, and they're both fighting cancer, and just they need your prayers, people. We prayed Thomas through. We need to pray Lily and Romeo, and they're going to have a lot of severe tests going on and finding out about the cancer. And so, Romeo, did you want to add anything or say anything? Lily, did you want to? Okay. We're going to be in fervent prayer. And so that's that. Next, we've been in prayer for John Haig, a deacon and a good friend of John Hens, a friend of mine, but a very good friend of John Hens. Well, he went home to be with the Lord this last week. So Friday night, they have the service, memorial service, at John's church. Some 200 people showed up, standing room only type thing. And John Haig and John Hens were very big on their Harley-Davidson riding. They would just take off on a Saturday and just go up into the mountains outside of Tucson or different places. And and everyone that knew John Haig knew he loved his Harley-Davidson. So they brought it into the church. And they didn't have a coffin, but they brought in his Harley-Davidson up at the front. And so John went over and talked about how John Haig loved it and how they had fellowship, just taking off and going places on it. And he was sitting, well, he backed it up in the church. I mean, this little church, and man, I mean, it was just smoke everywhere and all this. And this man came up after the service. They had fellowship, and John said it was amazing. They stayed at least 30 minutes, everyone, just talking, interacting about John Haig's life and all. But this one man walked up to John Hens and he said, "Well, Pastor, I got to hand it to you. I leaned over to my wife and I said, but I bet they don't have the courage to rack it up." And John racked it up. And so he said, "This is my kind of church. Don't know if he'll come or not." But so please be in prayer for John and Judy Hens. They've lost a very good friend, and the church lost a great helper, great deacon, so please be in prayer for them. And let's see. Please be in prayer for Judith's mother, Christine, and some more decisions are going to have to be made, so please be in prayer for Christine. God's will be done in her life, taking her home and the point where to give him glory. And in this category, are there any prayers that I'm not aware of? Any prayer request? Yes. In an accident?
He was souping up a golf cart that he just got, and his buddy took off on him while he was trying to jump on the back, but he missed and just flat
back and busted his head open and killed him. Oh, my goodness.
So his wife is Katie, and his two kids are Haiti.
His wife's name is
Haiti.
Haiti. So we need to be in prayer for Katie. Okay.
Brother died, not
Joe,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
My goodness. Wow, definitely. Gee. Any other prayer requests that we need to bring before everyone? Okay. Let's see. We'll get to the camp in just a moment and all that's going on with that. I have some introductory things I want to say about the camp, but having the prayer. The word of God declares, whatsoever man prepared giveth in his soul, let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. First of all, the offertory is for the family. It's for the born-again believer only. If you're here and have never accepted Christ as Savior by faith only, in Christ only, the offering plate is of no issue to you whatsoever. But really, the offering is for the believer who knows how to be filled with the Spirit by faith through grace, because whatever we do in the flesh profiteth nothing. So it's for the believer who knows how to be filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit in regard to giving. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, it's often our custom when we come to this facet of worship here in this assembly to remember the two great spheres of freedom that cross each other for this worship to take place. The political, economic freedom that we enjoy in this country to do with our lives, our time, and our money as we see fit. What precious freedom. A lot of people on this earth don't have that freedom to work and have a profit. The opportunity of what to do with their time and their money. So, Father, we're very thankful for this freedom. And we're very thankful for the men and women who have served throughout the history of this country in the country's uniform and in firemen and policemen to provide and protect this freedom. But, Father, we cross this freedom with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free in Jesus Christ. That is the freedom to do with our lives, our time, and our money as unto the Lord. It's the freedom we have in Christ that sheds a light on what to do with our time and why. What to do with our money and why. Where to go to church and why. Whom to marry and why. Where to live and why. So, Father, we are profoundly thankful for our freedom we have in Christ. We thank you, Father, for his sacrifice on the cross and subsequent resurrection. And now, Father, we pray that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will continue to use this humble assembly in the spreading of the gospel in all the ways that you've given us. The internet, right here in our own family, the youth, the camps, the outreach for the young people, missionaries. Father, we just thank you for these things. Pray you'll continue to use us in this manner. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay. This last week was a phenomenal week as far as the history of this assembly is concerned. Some unbelievable things happened at the camp for the young people, and that's what we're going to do, is let them, however, Chris and Larry want to take care of it. I just want to say that be careful when you walk around. Brian Wise and Rick Hallett, they're sore. They got little sleep, and they were always on the go. And they're the behind-the-scene guys. I mean, they're the guys that keep everything going. Now, if Jerry and Lester were here, have them. They're the took care of the kitchen. These are the people that don't get the praise. So just give them a little space when they're walking out. Don't bump into them. You might hurt their sore muscles. But Chris, who is the director of the camp, I'm going to let you take care of however you want to do things.
Fantastic. We had an amazing week at camp. I'll have some of the young people come up here in a minute and tell us all about their experiences there. But if you would you open your Bibles, please, to Mark 16, verse 15, please. And we'll just open with a word of prayer. While you're looking for Mark 16:15. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be here and tell everybody about the wonderful week that we had. We thank you for keeping everyone safe. We thank you for all of the people that supported this camp and supported these kids, and so many people here in the congregation, so many people on the internet, so many people that are just family members and friends of our assembly. And we thank you, Father, for just allowing us the opportunity, the honor to be with these kids for an entire week, and just everything was about glorifying you. And Father, thank you for these blessings. Thank you for this church. Thank you for everyone that's gave so much of their time. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, we're going to have a little bit of fun, but I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, as Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." So go into the world and preach the good news to all creation. Share the gospel. Our theme this week of camp was about sharing the gospel. And that's the Great Commission. That's what we are charged to do. And if I could, I would like to start by having the staff go ahead and stand up real quick. If everybody in a blue shirt or went to camp and forgot your blue shirt, whichever. These are just a few of them. We have a lot of people that are missing. And the whole point was about sharing the gospel, and the sharing the gospel started with this crew right here, because we went to camp to share the gospel with these kids. I think that all of the kids would give a resounding yes if I asked the question, did you get the gospel this week? Because it was over and over, and the whole point was to teach them to be able to go out and share the gospel, but they had to get it. And so there's just a few of us in this room that spent a lot of time this past week sharing the gospel with these kids. And there are so many people that aren't in this room that were involved with it as well. We had 43 staff members go up there for these kids this week. And that's a lot of people to go up and have a really, really good time, but also the opportunity to share the gospel with these kids. And, you know, there's I get a lot of credit, so I'm going to make them stand, make them uncomfortable here. This is fun. This is what I do at camp, too, right? So I get a lot of credit for being the director of camp. But camp is it's my place. I love camp. I am not uncomfortable in camp. I'm more uncomfortable standing here than I am at camp. I love camp. So giving up my life for these kids, not so much. It was all good to me. But there's a lot of people in this room that like to sleep, that like showers, that don't so much do bugs. And so when they gave up their life this week for these kids, that was the true example of love. And they get the credit, because this camp wouldn't have happened. And Larry, everybody put in a lot of time, and we give Larry a hard time about being demanding, because she is. But you know what? This camp would not have been as awesome as it was if she didn't stay on all of us about the details. Because the rest of us are like, hey, let's go have fun. And Larry's like, hey, we got to feed them. we'll get over it, right? So thank you, Larry, for all that you do. And I know we give her a hard time about that. So.
You guys can grab a seat. Do we have a? I think we're going to show a little video here. Are we ready? Let's go with the pictures. So we're going to show you a little bit of the video of some of the fun stuff they got to do up at camp, and then we'll talk a little bit more.
Thank you.
So it was an amazing time. I think we have 500 pictures loaded up to Shutterfly or something. So if anybody wants a link, you want to see all the rest of the pictures, it's hours of fun. To relive the camp experience. We'll send you the link to Shutterfly, but it was phenomenal. Tons of fun, as you can see. I don't think you saw any pictures in that whole thing where somebody wasn't smiling from ear to ear and all the excitement that was going on. Okay, except for the one where I was yelling at the kids in the water. That doesn't count. I was trying to keep them alive. And just for the record, we brought them all back. I think we left some staff up there still, but no, the kids all came back. But it was not just about the games, and it wasn't just about the water, and it wasn't just about the blob. It was very much about teaching these kids the truth of the gospel. And we had the pleasure of having two phenomenal speakers. Now, we had eight small group Bible study teachers, the way we broke things out. Let's see, I don't even know who all was. I know Trey was a small group. Lori was a small group teacher. Larry was a small group teacher. Leslie. I was a small group teacher. Leah. Joe and Kelly were all small group teachers. So we broke them up into small groups, and in the mornings we would sit down and we would go over the stuff that had been taught the day before, or just have some in-depth conversations with these guys. And it was really neat because the conversations could go anywhere, and they did. So it was pretty cool. They can tell stories about what the conversations were. But I mean, these young people came to learn something. They came to have fun, but they definitely came to learn something because you could tell by the questions that they were asking. And it was really an awesome time. But Grady was, okay, seriously, did you see Grady in a coconut bra? We're not teaching them anything about cross-dressing. Herman's like, how am I going to explain this to the church? It was about sharing the gospel, and sometimes you're embarrassed when you're sitting across from somebody and you're very uncomfortable. Well, here comes Grady in a wig, lipstick, and a coconut bra and a grass skirt. We were all very uncomfortable at that point in time. And the point was for him to be uncomfortable, and you know, it was very uncomfortable for the rest of us. But it was about getting over your embarrassment, getting over your focus on you and focusing on the person across from you because you love them enough to tell them about Christ. And so that's why he was in that. But fantastic teaching. And we had Phil got the opportunity to come up, and we got to listen to him. And I know that we have a small congregation and some folks that are visiting. This is the most people we've had in our church in a while. So it's a small congregation, but there are so many gifts, so many blessings in this church. And Phil is one of those blessings. He gets up and talks to these kids. And I won't ask you guys because I don't know what they're going to say. So I'll just tell you, it was great. It was fantastic. And he has fun, and he's got enthusiasm, and the message is extremely clear. And so, Phil, if you would come up if you would take a minute or two or however long you want to take, and tell them a little bit about what you were teaching these kids this week, if you would.
Thank you very much, Chris. I get the easy part. I really do. I wish I had the time and the opportunity to have been able to go up to the camp and help with the cooking and cleaning and all of the logistical things that take place. I really like doing all of that stuff, but just had the opportunity really to go up there on Tuesday and teach for an hour and come back, and then Thursday I got to go up and spend a little time in fellowship, and I got to do that blob thing. I've been hearing about it for 2 years, so it was fun. And really, it's just such a tremendous blessing to me. Chris, he's the director of the camp, he's does so much planning and getting things laid, trying to get everything laid out, where we're going to be and what we're going to be doing. And bless his heart, he's been trying for at least 6 months to get some word out of Grady and I as to what we were going to be teaching about up there. And Grady was pretty good. Grady was forthcoming. He sent enough verses and things for both of us, so I didn't feel that Chris needed to be warned about what I was going to teach in advance. We had a layout of what we were going to be doing each day. I think that Chris had come up with originally, and Grady and I changed it. And
that's the way it works.
And it was just a phenomenal opportunity to me to get to go up there Tuesday and tackle a really tough subject for Christians in general, and that's the field of apologetics. And a lot of us, you know, we know what we believe, but even though some of us have held those beliefs for a long time, it's hard for us to articulate why we believe it. And in some cases, well, I think in all cases, we know what we believe. It's just hard to articulate why we believe that. And that was the whole point of our camp this year, was to give the kids the idea that they have something that's worth believing in. It's not something that we just believe in it because it's there and we're going to go on with our life from that point. We have something that is entirely reasonable and logical for us to believe in. And so we looked at Tuesday, when I got to teach, I looked at a couple of verses in Matthew and the preparation that we're told God the Holy Spirit is going to use in our soul when it comes time for us to be a witness for Him. And I tried to boil down all of the field of apologetics into 2 points, because when you have a crowd that young, they aren't going to remember more than two or three. So we tried to talk about all of apologetics and one, know what you believe, and two, know why you believe it. And when I got to speak with them on Thursday, I wanted to just really share with them something that I've done years ago, or started doing years ago, and when I was not much older than them. I put some verses in the back of my Bible that I've had since I was 16 that talk about salvation and living the Christian life. And I've tried to keep that down to just a kernel of verses that give us a sum total of our faith and what we put our what we put our faith in and what we hope to get out of it. And Chris wanted to make sure that you all understood we did talk about the Bible some while we were there.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I want to share with you a couple of those verses and why we've talked about them. We looked at Romans 3:23, which is why we need God. And the reason that we need God, of course, is because we are all sinners. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when we, as I pointed out to the young people, you know, the fact that we're sinners really isn't part of the good news of the gospel. It's the reason for the good news of the gospel, though. And people reject God or reject Christ and the need for Christ based on relativism most of the time. They say, sure, I do some bad things from time to time, but I know I'm better than that guy over there or that girl over there, and if I'm better than and they say they're going to heaven, so I know I've got to be going to heaven too. And don't need anything else other than that relative righteousness that they appeal to. Well, this verse teaches us that we all have the same amount of righteousness, which is a big fat zero compared to God, and that we need God, we need the work of Christ in our life to have a relationship with Him. And then we looked at Romans 6:23, which tells us what's the result of our sinfulness that we see in Romans 3:23. And another reason, just an aside, I didn't point this out to the young people. Another reason that I use those two verses, because 3:23 and 6:23 was just easy to memorize. I could stick those 3:23, 6:23. I got that. I could stick those in my head and hang on to them a little easier. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we talked a little bit about that phrase, the wages of sin. The wages of sin are what you deserve, right? You go and you do some work, and you're told you're going to be paid so much an hour, and you work X amount of hours, and then you're going to get what you deserve at the end of your day for your work. And that's exactly what the penalty of sin is. It's what we deserve. It's what we worked very hard to get. Is eternal condemnation and eternity in a lake of fire. It's everything that we deserve. But the free gift of God is the work of Christ on our behalf. All we have to do is believe in Him, and we have eternal life and eternal relationship with our Lord and Savior. And this brought us to our key verse of the summer camp this year, John 3:16. John 3:16, it eludes me at the moment. Oh, yeah. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that who should ever believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the simplicity of that is that's what makes what we believe and why we believe it such a sound, logical thing. We were completely unable and unqualified to do the work of attaining a level of righteousness that would give us a relationship with God. So God did the work for us when He sent His Son. And John 3:16 is so powerful because it even gives us the reason why He did that. Because He loved us. And He loves each and every one of us, those who believe and those who haven't yet believed. He wants them to have that relationship with Him as well. And that's why we're commanded to spread the gospel. Because when we spread the gospel, we're offering the very love of God to those who need it so desperately. And the next verse that I covered was Romans 5. You may have heard of this one. Romans 5:8-9. And Romans 5:8-9 isn't really typically, isn't just about our salvation, our justification in God. But God demonstrates His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, the love of God from eternity past. He has pursued us with His gospel. He's run us down and beat us with it so that we would have the opportunity to accept it. And much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. You know, I knew the theme of the camp was justification, was salvation in Christ and sharing that. But I cannot just teach the justification. I have to teach sanctification also. And some would call that salvation one and salvation two. Some would call it the process of living. Either way, it's the same thing that we got at the cross. This verse tells us much more than now that we're justified by His blood, we shall be saved. We continue to be saved even though we're in the devil's world. And we have the world, the flesh, and the devil to draw us away from a relationship with God. He keeps saving us. This is the sanctification part. We're not in danger of losing our eternal relationship with Him. But He keeps on saving us through His power. And just as at salvation we had to do God's work with God's power, we live our life by doing God's work with God's power. So from Romans 5, we turned on to 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15:3, I taught this verse several times, probably in the same place more times than I should have. I had Someone commented to me one time that I did my Easter lesson an awful lot. But that's okay. In 1 Corinthians 15:3 it says, "For I delivered to you the, as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." One is the salvation that Christ died for our sins. And the second part of that, according to Scriptures, it was foretold in God knew He was going to do this in eternity past. He talked about it in the Old Testament. He carried it through from beginning to end of the history and story of man, that He has provided us with salvation. And that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried. That also was predicted in the Old Testament. That He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures again, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain now, and some have fallen asleep. All of those have fallen asleep for us now. They have passed away. But they had seen the risen Lord. They had they were witnesses of the resurrection. And I love the story of the apostles, the 12, as they're mentioned there. If you look at some extra biblical sources, you can find accounts of what happened to those 12 men. And I believe to every last one of them died for the name of Christ. They didn't stop from the moment that they saw the resurrected Lord until somebody killed them for pointing at Him. And this is more than any empirical thing that we have in the world besides the Word of God to tell us that Christ was resurrected, was the action and impact of these 12 men and those who witnessed the resurrection after Christ. There's no extra biblical source that says this didn't happen, that goes out of its way to talk about how Christ, those people believed that Christ was resurrected, but it couldn't have happened. I don't know of a single extra biblical source. And if it was something that was easily disputed, or something that people scoffed at in thinking about, we would see it somewhere in all of the sources that we have about the ancient world. So, aside from the fact that it's God the Father's seal of approval on the actions of Christ that He raised Him from the dead, it's the fact that we can look at the human impact that event had that makes it such a reality, that makes it such a believable thing that Christ was raised from the dead. And so that verse, my Easter lesson verse there, is part of the proof in my soul that Christ's work was complete, and that Christ's work is a continued progress in me as well as you. And so we looked at my Easter verse there in time, and saw the proof of the gospel as given by the Father and as seen by the actions of the apostles. And finally, we ended up in another old favorite, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, I love this verse because it tells us why we can't do any work for God. If it were so that we got to do the work of salvation in any manner, then our salvation would not be to God's glory, it would be to our own glory. And Ephesians 2:8 tells us that it's grace by which we've been saved through faith, and it's not of our own works, it's the gift of God. And then it goes on to give us that reason why, so that no man can boast. Nobody gets to stand before God and say, "I pleased you." No one gets to stand before God and say, I did the work to show your and reveal your righteousness on earth. We all get to stand before God and thank Him for the gift of His Son. We all get to stand before God and praise Him for the work that His Spirit does in our lives. And hopefully in this last week, we've put some information in the soul and the souls of our young people, so that when the moment comes that they find a person in need of the gospel, just due to the circumstances of this world, or just the wanderings of their own souls as they talk to one another, and as they look to God, the Holy Spirit, they'll have the information and preparation in their soul that they can present that gospel boldly and be not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of salvation in your lives. And that was the purpose of our camp. A lot of fun happened in between there. I hope some of the fun part happened while we were learning the Word of God. God the Holy Spirit did a marvelous thing in coordinating what Grady taught and what I taught. We only spoke one time before the camp. And the really amazing thing that God the Holy Spirit did in that was He took that information that He transmitted through Grady and I, and these counselors took it and made it real to those kids in the small groups. It just phenomenally, you know. I was talking to Grady, and he said, "I said, yeah, you know, most of the time after the camp or after teaching at camp, the counselors will comment to us, you know, oh, thanks, I like that part, or that was good, or that was, you know." And the kids hardly ever say anything to us. That's because it's just filtering through. God the Holy Spirit gives it to the teacher gives it to the counselors then filter it down to the kids in a manner that they can hear and chew on it and talk about. Because in a group this big, any questions? Not a one, right? Nobody's going to ask that question then. But they'll ask it in a small group when it's just them and their friends. So God the Holy Spirit's work was certainly evident in our camp, and hopefully will be evident throughout these young people's lives and into eternity future. Chris?
So, thank you, Phil. So you can see, I know we wanted to get up here and do a lot of rah-rah and a lot of fun stuff. Well, we've been doing that for a week. It's awesome, and most of us are worn out. No, but the fact is that we didn't just go up to camp and take these young people up to camp just for the rah-rah and the fun. I mean, this is not stuff, and Herman, I don't know how many times Herman said it, that these young people know more about the gospel than a lot of preachers who stand up in front of huge congregations and tell them. They understand it. They know what they believe. They know why they believe it. Okay, and they could everything they did, and Phil just went through this with us in the Bible, everything we taught these guys, we told them, open your Bible. Because it's not about whether Phil's right. It's not about whether Grady's right. It's not about whether I'm right or the small group teachers are right. It's about whether or not you can see it here. Because I could be wrong. But if it's written in here, you know where to find it, and you can make sure that it's right, because this is the inspired Word of God. And He ain't wrong. Ever. So, it was great stuff. Let's see, we got a couple other things. I'd love to have the young people. So I got some cool orange shirts out here. I mean, it was great. We had these orange shirts on the first day. You could see these kids for miles. It was awesome. It's like the people on the other side of the lake were sitting there going, "What? There's something on fire over there." So come, if you guys would come up here, I would love to just have you guys tell us what was your favorite part about camp. So can y'all come forward? Come on. Yeah, I'll push it right in there. Come on, right up here. Everybody come on here. Don't be shy. This way. Swing on around here. All right, you guys come on this side. So all the girls migrated that way. Oh, Shelby. Oh, hanging with the dudes. All right. Yeah. Oh, sorry. We'll start over. No, we'll start over here. There's too many cords. This was, the one great part about camp this year is I didn't have to mess with a computer. It was awesome. All right, tell them what's your favorite. Just tell them what your favorite thing was. It doesn't matter what it was, but put this really close.
Okay, so...
Tell them your name first.
Emily.
Hi, Emily.
Hi, Emily.
My favorite part was probably worship time, singing.
So the music, the band was cool, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were rocking. We were rocking, thank you. Tell them your name.
Hunter.
This is Hunter. She said the Blob, if you couldn't hear me in the back. The Blob, you like? Did you guys play King of the Blob?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. We don't have any. We'll have, there's 500 pictures on the website. Did I mention that? There's lots of pictures of the Blob. Tell me anything.
Cassidy.
Hi, this is Cassidy.
My favorite part was meeting new people.
Meeting new. How many friends did you make?
A lot.
A lot. A lot of new friends. Awesome. Tell them your name.
Lauren.
What was your favorite part, Lauren?
Swimming in the lake.
Swimming in the lake.
She had never done that before.
No?
Right.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Was it cool? Did it cool you down? Did you go on the Blob? Mm-hmm. Did you play King of the Blob? No, you just got full. Did you get launched? Do you have any bruises to show? No bruises to show. All right.
My name's Ryan. My favorite part is
worship and singing. Worship and singing. Yeah, there was some hand. Herman got up there and he thought we were having a charismatic experience. I mean, we've got hands going, they're swaying, people, I mean, they're crying, people were walking the aisles, it was amazing.
My name's Mackenzie, and my favorite part was having
all my friends. How many friends did you have there, about-ish?
20 or more.
20 or more. Go out in the world and share the gospel. Thank you, Mackenzie.
My name is Sam, and my favorite part was
about everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very
good.
Ah, I like to hear that. How'd you like the food? Did you like the chicken nuggets? I thought I'd find if there's something you didn't like. Or about it later. This is. Go ahead.
My name is Shelby, and my favorite part was helping counselors at Bethlehem
Grove. Yeah, we had junior counselors. These three were junior counselors this year, so they actually worked with the younger cabins. And showed them around. Man, they were hanging on. Weren't the girls like hanging on you guys?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they had kids hanging on all of them for the entire week. It was awesome.
My name's Cameron, and my favorite part was worship and getting to be a counselor.
All right. These guys are awesome.
You did a good job.
Yeah. My name's Cameron, and my favorite part was...
I had to give him the mic. Here, hold that. I don't want to stare that long.
My name's Cameron, and my favorite part was just being up there with all my friends and just getting to hang out and be with those kids and just worship with them. It was a lot of fun. I think everybody who I've talked to since I've been back, the only way I can describe it was life-changing. And having an awesome day is one of the best weeks of my life. So it's a lot of fun.
Great. Hold on, I can bring the mic back. Because there's a volunteer over here.
Angie just told me a story. They went to the store yesterday.
Yes.
And Emily walked in and said, "Let's see, who can I give the gospel to?" Did you find someone?
No. You were thinking about it. That was cool.
Recorded miracle of the camp was that there were over a dozen skunk sightings and no one got sprayed.
Yeah. I'm sure there's pictures of the skunk somewhere. Skunks, plural. Anybody else have anything you want to add? Thank you, guys. Go ahead and grab a seat. What's that, Thomas? You had a favorite part?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thomas is up gallivanting around New York City. You know, our accommodations were close to yours in that big hotel next to the Empire State. They were almost, you know, 5-star, although the J crew almost was 5-star. Yeah, they ended up staying on the different facility because we just didn't have room this year for the J crew to stay on with us. So they ended up staying at the camp just north of where we were. Yeah, it was like hotels. I mean, it wasn't camp.
You didn't have a maid service.
Cameron was bumming, no maid service. I got to make my own bed? No, I don't, because nobody's coming to look. Awesome, it was cool. So, what I'd like to do here is we've got a couple of emails, some feedback from some campers. You want to come up and read those, Larry? And then we're going to sing the one of the songs, and then I'll turn this back over to Hermie, because we've... But I wanna...
I've had many, many incredible pieces of feedback, but these are a couple of texts and an email I got that I thought I'd share with you. Before I do, for those of you that got to come up and enjoy the talent show, I think you could feel the excitement, not just from our side, but from all of those parents who were there, who just came out of the woodwork to come see and be a part. And you should have seen their. I looked back one time because, like Chris said, we were all raising our arms and hugging each other and hooping and hollering. I looked back over my shoulder, and the parents were just like, I mean, they had their cameras out. Like, is she really doing that? I mean, it was amazing. But they loved every minute of it. And I've had many. These are just a few. Thank you so much. Riley had the time of her life. She is so happy. She said they cried coming home on the bus. They wanted to stay. When she got off the bus, she didn't run to hug me. She ran to her counselor to hug and say goodbye. I'm so grateful. And subsequently, this child got in the car, and on the way home, she gave her mom the gospel, because my other friend said in her email to me, well, here's one more text. Hang on just a second. This one said, Lauren loved Liberty. These are two girls that have never even really been to our home or anywhere exposed to what we've been doing either. So this is going to spread even further, because this is a different age group than what my children are. And Lauren loved Liberty. She had a great time there with her friends. She told Ash, her younger sister, that she has to go next year too. Thank you for your family so much. Okay, this one says, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry. I just have to take my glasses off. No, I'm not going to cry. What a nice feat. Oh, I don't want to tell you all that. Okay. You deserve a relaxing weekend. Soak up all the goodness of last week's mission. You and your team worked so hard on an incredible camp. You guys really thought of everything, details that made a difference. Thank you for all the time and energy and prayers and love that was poured into this week for these kids. They have no idea what all went into this for them. But if ever they get the chance to work on the other side one day, they will understand. I told my husband how cool it was to see your family and Lori's in full swing working together to make this successful for God's glory. What a unique experience for families to do together. You all have created something amazing, and this is what spreading the gospel is all about. I think many kids were touched this week and many decisions to follow Christ. You could feel it. I have had several parents share with me that they have never seen their kids so genuinely happy and pumped. Tracy Lake, who is the mom of that child, said the first thing Riley shared in the car with her was the gospel. They got it.
That's cool. I'm gonna give you one more testimony from camp, and then we'll sing the song. But I have a young man that was on my baseball team, and he just the coolest kid you have ever want to meet. He was, okay, Sam, next to you, buddy. But, all right, second coolest kid you'll ever want to meet. Right. But it was, he was, has never been exposed to, his parents don't go to church, they're not exposed to church, he just doesn't, I don't know their whole background. It's a good family, nice folks. 2 weeks before we, because the timeline for when all the applications were supposed to be in was June. Well, about 2 weeks before camp started, another family came up to me and said, hey, my son's going, we'd love, is there any way that this young man can go? Because we don't know what he knows. We know they're not church-going folks, they're nice and all this, but, and I know the young man. And he's, so we made room for him. And he had to go on scholarship because it was a money issue. And he went, and I got a note. He had an awesome time. Tom taught him to swim.
He smiled the whole time.
I mean, this kid, he smiled from ear to ear from the time we got there to the time we went home. It was amazing to watch him. He's the neatest kid. But this family who talked to me about him to get him there said, thank you all. Thank you for all you do for the kids. You guys are such an inspiration and a wonderful example of what we should all be doing as Christians. I hope to start bringing these two boys over on Thursdays. I received this text from the young man's mom. And this is what the text said. This camp was life-changing for my son. He sings with his new CD he got. I find him reading his Bible, and he tells me he feels closer to God and wants to know him more. Thanks for urging us to send him. You're an amazing blessing to our family. So, oops. I just hit call. We almost called him.
Hey, man, we're talking about you, church.
I know we do so much fundraising and we work. I know we do so much fundraising and we work so hard year round to plan. And yeah, I'm one of these next couple of few weeks. We're going to go over all the budget stuff for the next year to get ready for 2013. And we spend a lot of money. There's a lot of money, a lot of resources, a lot of time, and we know that this is the main source of all of that, is this congregation and the people here. But I will show you the numbers when we get all said and done, and it's a drop in the bucket for that one young man to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. There's no price tag, and you know what? God continues to provide every dime we need every single time. In fact, we're kind of getting close. We're like, boom. It's there. It shows up. And so as long as you all will continue to support us, we will continue to bring the gifts to the table that each and every person in here has to try to make this just, it's a mission. It's a mission. There's an urgency. We talked about the emergency action plan. It can't ring the bell. This is an emergency. How many people were on the list of the prayer list this morning that are either dying or, you know, have the opportunity to? Well, guess what? We all have that same opportunity because we could walk out the front door today and get hit by a truck. Hopefully it doesn't happen. But how many people have the opportunity to be dead right now? Well, it's an emergency to get this word out because you never know when it's over. And once it's done, it's done. So the emergency is there and the resources you all have continued to provide and God has provided. So it's been amazing. Does anybody else want to add anything?
There was a man that we were praying for just before we left camp, if you remember. His family had had a death in their family. He was our very last camper.
Right.
And the very last second before that kid got on the bus, he got it.
Yep. So, neat. It'll blow your mind. It'll blow your mind. I think each one of us could probably say we took more out of the week than we put into the week. It's worth it. It's worth every minute of it. So, on that note, do we have something ready to queue up, or are we going to just...
It's not really a song,
but oh, cool. We're just going to listen to a song then, because it's pretty cool. This is one we used up at camp, I think. I don't know. It's something Rick picked up.
One of the kids.
Yeah, AC/DC for those about the rock. It's better than Hell's Bells, though. So we can sing. We can sing. If you know the words, sing along.
You were there.
All right, we're going to cue up one song for everybody to sing together, if that's all right with y'all. And while he's cueing that up, I want to tell you one story that happened up at camp. If you want to talk about the power of prayer. So we have a list of a prayer list that's, I don't know, it's miles long. If you scroll through your email to read it all, right? We got lots and lots of people on our prayer list. When we were standing up at camp, big storms were coming in. We saw them on the radar, and it looked like it was going to hit us hard, right? And so one of the things, there's not a whole lot of you know, get down under the ground kind of space. So at the camp, it's kind of wide open, lots of windows and everything. I mean, the dining hall is surrounded, is the whole thing, all the way around is windows. So Larry and Brian and I are looking at the radar, what are we going to do? Okay, we need to get everybody into the dining hall. It doesn't look like there's going to be tornado stuff. So we have tarps all around the dining hall to cover the windows. And so we get all the kids in there, and they're like, what's going on? So we get everybody in the dining hall, and we say, okay, storm is coming. We can see it on radar, and it's from Ardmore, Oklahoma, to Bowie, Texas, and it's coming. It's just one big, you guys saw this on Friday, a lot of you, on Thursday, you may have driven up through it to get there. It's just one big line of yellow and red and purple in there, and that really bad stuff goes on in those colors, right? And it's coming across, and so we sat down, and I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Everybody, bow your heads, close your eyes, let's pray. Let's make sure that this, let's just pray for our safety. God will put his arms around us and we'll all be okay. So we closed our eyes and we prayed for a minute or two or however long it was and said, God, just take care of us, protect all of our families that are coming up. And we get done praying and I literally turn back around and I walk over to Brian. I look at the radar and the storms had broken in half and went right around us and went to the other side of the lake. Literally. I mean, it was like, okay, this is freaky. Pray. Pray continuously because the power of prayer is amazing. So we got some folks that need prayer. Every one of us needs prayer. Every single one of us. We got people that are ill. We got people that are depressed. We don't know what people need. Pray for them because it is powerful. Wow. I mean, we got to witness it. It was crazy. And then went to the other side of the lake and it was like just an awesome fireworks display across the lake. So it was really neat. So we're going to sing this song. We got the lyrics to go with it too, or is it all right? And if everybody would stand up and do your best at singing this song, you can sway back and forth if you want to. All right, you can throw your hands in the air. It's a little flashback to camp. We don't have to be all proper. We'll be a Bible church here in a minute. As of right now, it's a great tune. Can you see? If you can't see, meander around so you can see.
Girl's jealous for me, love's like a hurricane, iron tree, bending your knee, the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and realize just
So that was Camp 2012. It was fantastic, and their memories will last a lifetime. We are so proud. It will last an eternity. So we are so proud to be a part of this. And if you would just bow your heads in closing for me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that is here today that supports camp and supports you and just loves you. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity for all of these young people to come up to camp and spend a week just want to glorify you. And we know, Father, that we've now given them the Great Commission to go out into the world and to share the gospel. The world is going to hate them. The world is going to punish them. The world is going to come after them hard. And Father, we ask that you put your arms around all of them. Put your arms around each and every person and let them just feel your love as they go out and share your gospel, share your son, and share the love that you have for us. And Father, thank you for all of the blessings. Thank you for everybody who was a part of this. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, before you leave, some here. Okay, all you campers, take a chance here. I'm going to take a chance. Let's sing. What's one?
Know the gospel.
What's one?
Know the gospel.
What's one?
Know the gospel.
What's two?
Believe the gospel.
And what's three?
Share the gospel.
Okay, let's go back to know the gospel. John 3:16. Not much confidence, but you had it. Now, campers, do you believe it?
Yes.
All right, you got to share it. Got to share it. It was a great week, and I'd like to just take a lot of time to go through the people at this assembly that had a lot to do with it. Financially, in today's world, it ain't going to happen without that. I'm sorry. It ain't going to happen. And a lot of you were there financially, but you weren't able to come out and be a part of it, but you were there financially, and that's where it began, and I appreciate that. But for a long time, we've been like the Dead Sea. People come, Bo and I mean we take in the Word, and I believe that. We build it on gold, silver, and precious stones, the truth of the Word. But you know why the Dead Sea is dead? Because it has no outlet. It gets fresh water 24/7. Fresh water runs into the Dead Sea. Why is it dead? No outlet. And I am just so thankful for all that has happened, primarily just through the camp. And just going running through alphabetically, Trey and Christy Bryant. I'd love to have them come up and just talk. Just tell you the stories with working with these young people. But I had the privilege of getting to listen. Now let me tell you something. Know the gospel, believe the gospel, and share the gospel. It starts with knowing. One of the most wonderful things about this camp was the like-mindedness. I can honestly say, from my perspective, and I've been associated with every one of the camps that this one came from, this was the first time 100% agreement from the teachers, counselors, everybody. We have people working in the kitchen staff that knows more truth than a lot of preachers. But the like-mindedness, there was no inviting Jesus into your heart. There was no making him Lord. There was none of this other. It was simply believe by faith alone in Christ alone. That was unbelievable. And I got to listen and watch Trey work with those young people. People, I'm telling you, it's just something to see each other in a different environment and to watch him and listen to him. And what was it y'all won? What were y'all? What city?
Israel.
Israel. And what'd y'all win?
Best of show.
And they worked on it. These the skits. They did these skits. That was great. And Jim, your grandson was in. You got two different with the two different award groups. Do you remember which two?
Israel.
They're both in Israel. All right, very good. So, and Chris and Laura, I'm doing this alphabetically. Chris and Laura Dade, I tell you what, I do not want to offend two families, the Thompsons and the Daigs. I'd be in a world of hurt if I offended either of those. How many were there in your whole family, the whole camp?
A lot.
A lot. I mean, from Larry on the water, is there your brother, your sister, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, your brother-in-law and sister, and on and on and on. Good grief. Wow.
The patriarch was there, lifeguard Larry.
Yeah.
And then we had the three siblings, and they're all of their families except for two of the younger kids.
Yeah. Yep.
And we had other cousins and second. I mean, we went back to Noah by the time it was all.
Oh, and Rick and Terry Hallett. And I'm going to tell you something about Thomas's dad. He's a little talk a whole lot here, but I want to share this with you. By the time I got to the bunk area, all the bottom bunks were taken. And I got to get up a couple of times in the night to go out and look at the scenery, pray and all that. No, you know why. And climb down out of that. He had already had a bottom bunk. And he said, look, you take the bottom, I'll take the top. And I said, no. He said, no, you do that. I mean, people, what are we talking about spiritual love? Spiritual love observes and then does something. And he just, on his own. I didn't say, boy, I wish I had a thought. Nope. He just said, you take the lower bunk. I'll take the upper bunk. And he said, if you can handle my snoring. I said, if I don't like it, I'll just kick the bottom of your bunk. But, so that was good. And then Jerry and Leslie Jensen. I mean, Jules in the kitchen. I never knew Jerry was into all of that. I knew he liked to hunt and do it out in the wild. But Jerry and Leslie. Jim and, well, I got the Langstons in order. Well, they're next. Jim and Nell Langston, all in the kitchen. And people think about feeding 140 plus people, three meals a day and snacks. That's just unbelievable. And Phil McMillan, and Brian and Jennifer St. Clair, and she was just a jewel, working with the kids. And, of course, Brian and Larry Wise. Brian had one of those jobs, he just didn't see him. He was the last to get to bed. We were in the same Bay Area, and the first up and out. You never saw him, but you saw the result. There was nice, good, fresh water. Cold, good water. There was this working, that working. Rick ran all of the electronics. They didn't ask me to help him with the electronics. I don't understand that. But he ran all of the electronics. And Brian, up very early, late at night. Okay. I think he got in late at night because I was already asleep by the time he got in. But I'm told late at night. And just, these are the kinds of things that it took to make this work. And then there were just innumerable people that are not part of this assembly. I just went through this assembly. So the Dead Sea has cracked open. And I hope that through this next year, that you might want to be a part of camp. You might be want to be a part of the missions. Open up something. There are people in this assembly, and I'm not exaggerating, know more doctrine, know more truth of the Bible than most preachers. And that's not an exaggeration. So you need to share it. You need to let them know and get it out. So I just thank all of you. And let's look forward to next year and have a great time. Thank you, campers. Dismissed.
I said, did you tell him tonight? Yeah. And then Jared said, eventually, we're coming.